And I thought it'd be an appropriate time to discuss what you think's the future of Group of Five football and where it's going as a group. There are television contracts to be negotiated in a couple of years, and you understand the revenue and expenses and how that all looks. But as a broad stroke, if you will, when you look at the future of non-Power 5 football, what does that look like to you as it relates to all the people in the same boat as Boise State not being in the Power 5?
Well, this is a great question. I certainly can't predict the future. And, you know, with just the way college athletics changes so much year to year, Jeff, you never know what opportunities are going to come down the road here in the next year or two or three or five. And so, really hard to predict, you know, what that's going to look like and where schools may end up going forward. So that's probably the first thing, is that's a question that's really hard to answer at this point. You know, I guess one of the things that comes to mind is, you know, whether or not schools are going to be around then, or, you know, whether they're going to be able to afford it or whatever the case might be. You know, I think it comes down really to how competitive, you know, these schools want to be. And, you know, fan expectations are high in a lot of cities and schools that are located in the non-Power 5 group, which Boise State's a part of. And I think schools at some point, because of the amount of money that is pouring in from TV rights and all the other things that offer those bigger schools the opportunity to just be more successful. I think as institutions, we really need to try and decide how successful, you know, it is that we want to be and how competitive we want to be, not only within our conference, but outside our conference. So those are questions I think that all of us have to answer going forward. And, you know, what I can tell you is we're always going to look out for what's best for Boise State and what's best for the conference that we're in right now, the Mountain West, and our conference and our athletic directors talk a lot about that going forward. And, you know, that's where we're going to certainly focus our attention as time goes on.
Kurt, to take it to the extreme, we've all heard the diatribe out there about the Power Fives want to eventually break away from their Group of Fives because of the money. Now, I'm convinced that the money growth is not going to be there in the future like it might be today, so I'm not sure how real that is. Do you worry about that, and is that a possibility, or is that just a bunch of speculation?
No, I certainly worry about that. I mean, we've talked about it before, I think, on this show, just about, you know, the overall change in legislation with the NC2A that, you know, cost of attendance is a great example where legislation changes and schools, for the most part, want to opt in to that change. And unfortunately, for schools like Boise State and some of the other schools in those conferences that we're talking about, those costs are really hard to take on. And there's not a lot of ways to generate the additional revenue to help pay for those things. And so, that seems to continue to happen, and, you know, I think at some point legislation within college football is going to change to the extent where I think some schools are really going to have to take a close look and go, you know, do we really want to offer those opportunities, and can we afford it? And so, you know, Mike, to answer your question, I do see separation, and it's already starting to happen, and that is certainly a concern for us, without a doubt.
Kurt Apsey is our guest. You can ask the AD by hashtagging Ask the AD on your Twitter account and direct it towards us, Jeff Caves or KTAK 93.1 FM, or give us a commercial tire text at 424-9300. We're talking about Group of Five football and its future with Kurt Apsey, the Boise State Athletic Director. Kurt, you know, in looking at your current bowl situation, with that loss to Wyoming, things can go a lot of different directions now. But one realistic option is a New Mexico Bowl appearance, because it is a Mountain West tie-in. If Las Vegas is occupied with San Diego State, they don't go New Year's Day 6. There's not as many options. I know you can trade around, but it just got me to thinking, is there any alternative that some Group of Five conference leaders can't get together and figure out a better way, perhaps, to put together bowl games so that more significant opportunities are out there, and it may be even more appealing to fans? Has that ever come up? Because it seems to me a dead end if you end up in a bowl game at 11-1 playing a team that's second or third out of a group of five conference, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, here you guys go again talking about December. You know I don't like that. you know, I mean, it's for us, you know, just for the record. I mean, I'm just focused on tomorrow night, and I don't think anything's changed, to be honest with you. I think we've got to just focus on what we can control. And if we can win tomorrow night and keep this thing rolling, I just believe that something good will happen for us. And, but to answer your question, Jeff, you know, there's contracts that are in place with our conference and the bowls that are tied to the Mountain West. And for the most part, I know our conference is going to try and honor that. Now, if there's a situation where, you know, you've got a team maybe that is, has very few losses on their record, but maybe doesn't win a conference championship or at least play in the conference championship game, you know, there's always negotiations that can take place. I know this much. In our conference, you know, Craig Thompson and those guys back there, even our athletic directors, we want to make sure we put all of our teams in the best possible situation to represent the conference. And, you know, when the time comes to do that, I'm sure that we will get together and make sure that we do that.
Kurt, this is where the dumb, stubborn sports writer asked the same question a different way. But to look at the bigger picture, you know, just going forward and once the contracts have to be renegotiated and stuff,
yeah.
Do you feel, as an athletic director with an opinion, that the conference could do a little bit better in terms of getting postseason affiliations, or do you think that this is just about right for the Mountain West?
Well, I think we can always try and do better, you know, but at the same time, it's the opportunities that are out there. And are we attractive in the minds of those bowls that, you know, make some sense for people, here in the West to participate in? And so, you know, a lot of things play into that role, Mike. It's where you're located. It's can you bring fans? Is your team going to be attractive in that city that's hosting the bowl? I mean, so many things come into those conversations. And, you know, I'll say this. I mean, I think our conference really does a good job of at least trying to seize all the opportunities that are out there for us. They're always battling to get our teams in bowl games that, you know, are attractive and will do right by the conference. And so I've never really questioned so much what the games are, and I know this much, that it's talked about a lot. And the Mountain West Conference office, along with our presidents and our athletic directors, are always looking to get our conference in a better position, and we'll continue to do that. You know, for me to sit here and say that, you know, we're not doing a good job in terms of getting better bowl games or better opportunities for our teams, I don't think that's a true statement. I think we're always looking to get better, and we'll continue to do that as time goes on. And our commissioner and our group of schools that are in that conference are going to do whatever they can to put the best teams and the best bowls going forward, and we'll certainly continue to do that.
Kurt, as it relates to the attendance issues that some of the group of five face, I'm looking at like 15 schools that seem to be in and out of averaging 15,000 or fewer people either paid or in butts and seats or however they choose to report it to the NCAA, and this is off of 2015 figures, and they're probably going to be fairly close for 16.
Yeah.
Is that a fair barometer when you look from the outside in to say that's probably not a sign of a very healthy football program budget if it doesn't change within X amount of years? Or are there so many other factors involved if they're a group of five school that it's not necessarily the most important one?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna plead a little ignorance to this. Is that actually still a rule? Do you guys know that? I don't.
Oh no, not the rule. No, I don't think it's a rule. No,
yeah.
No, it's not a rule.
I don't pay much attention to the 15,000, to be honest with you. But I mean, I guess it goes back to what I said earlier. You know, schools that are trying to stay competitive at this level. You know, I can tell you this much for us. In order for us to continue to be competitive at the level that our fans expect, we have got to have butts in seats in Albertson Stadium. That is, without question, the most important thing for us from a financial perspective. And so, you know, if we start to really dip down to those kind of numbers, you know, we've got some big concerns at Boise State, and we need to be very, very careful about that. But I would say, Jeff, that, you know, if you're a Division I institution out there that sponsors football and you're averaging less than, you know, 15,000 fans a game. That doesn't necessarily mean you're selling 15,000 tickets.
Sure.
I would venture to say that would be very difficult to put together a budget that allows you to stay competitive. And I think that I'm sure those schools are taking a close look at that. And we are too. I mean, we're not at that number, but, you know, once we dip below, 20,000 season tickets, it starts to become a concern. And if it gets less than that, it's more of a concern because of Boise State. As you guys know, the purchase of a ticket means a lot to our program. And, we certainly have to take a very close look at our budget when something like that happens.
Kurt, you busted out a special ticket promotion price this week.
Yep.
In the past, we've kind of hinted at talking to you about that and pros and cons of doing that are. I thought the way you rolled out this week's promotion was right on and spot on, perfect timing and a good deal. But I would imagine behind the scenes, you and your staff wrestled with that a little bit.
Very much so, Mike. When we offer a discounted ticket like that, there's some things that we have to take into consideration. Number one, you know, where those tickets are located. I think we've put them in the north end zone and on the curves and in the south end zone. So anywhere in those areas, you can get a ticket now for $25 for tomorrow night. And I think whenever you do that, as I've said in the past, you know, you got to be cognitive of the value of a season ticket. And, we still need our fans to purchase season tickets. And, you know, by no means do we want to get in the habit of offering up a $25 ticket. But we thought for this Friday it was necessary, just because it's a Friday night and, ticket sales leading up to this game tomorrow night, were slow. And, we just wanted to make sure that we gave people the opportunity to come to the game at, you know, what we hope is an affordable price.
Kurt, another direction I wanted to go, and I don't know how much time we're going to have, was to just talk to you a little bit more about what it's like working with Coach Harsin, you know, as a person. Yeah. We see him at podiums. We see him at press conferences. That's all fans get. They may get a commercial. They may see him on the sideline. That's their relationship with him. And so they make a lot of decisions on how they feel about him based on those public appearances. You're in different types of environments with him. I'm sure a lot of people, how's he similar to Coach Pearson? How does he handle details, or is he a delegator? Does he take directions, or does he want answers? Is he an innovator, and how everything or anything is done? How can you give us like a broad stroke of what it's like working with Coach Harsin?
That's a lot of questions, Jeff. I'm not sure which one.
Well, I think there's a lot there. I think he's the most important figure in a lot of ways, and we really only get the candidate, really, the vision of him. That's it.
Well, first of all, working with Brian every day has been awesome. You know, him and I think, get along. We're able to share information, whether it's positive or negative, and I think Brian takes all of that with a grain of salt. I think he's a really good listener. He's open to suggestions from me, and I'm not really talking about X's and O's as much as,
sure,
you know, just he in a sense runs in a smaller athletic department. He's got a lot of coaches and a lot of staff that work underneath him, and so him and I, we have a lot in common in terms of managing people, and we talk a lot about that. We talk a lot about, you know, the student athletes in his program, and then the student athletes not only that are a part of his team, but all the other young people that are in our department. So we have a lot of common. I really enjoy working with Coach Harsin. Most of our conversations are very positive, and when we have conversations that may get a little uncomfortable, you know, he tells me his side of the story, and vice versa. And sometimes we agree to disagree, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But you know, I'll say this about him. He is extremely competitive, very, very detailed in everything that has to do with that football program. You know, you guys know this. At the end of the day, for our coaches here, our head coaches are responsible for everything. And, you know, I think you asked the question about delegation and how much is delegated.
Yeah.
He puts a lot of trust in his staff, but he's also involved in a lot of it, and he wants to be involved in all the details. And I've never met a head coach that doesn't want that. Now, I think to some extent, you know, some coaches, need to probably try and delegate a little bit more so that they can maybe just stay a little bit more focused. I'm not necessarily talking about Brian, but I would just say coaches in general. And so just a very detailed guy. He cares about every little single thing that has to do with that program, and that's what I expect of him. And, you know, the other thing I think that's real important for people to know about Brian is, you know, he's about as true a Bronco as we've ever had in that position. I mean, he played here. He's from Boise. Most of the guys that he looks at hiring have some tie to Boise. Most of them actually played for us. You know, he's the only coach I know that makes his team sing the fight song in the locker room after a game. And that means a lot. And his passion for this place is unbelievable. And I appreciate that about him. And so far for him and I, you know, I hope he would say the same. But it's been a great relationship up till now.
Everybody has to go through, you know, personal and professional growth, and I'm assuming Brian Harsin is no different. And, you know, there were some things said, you know, and we reported some things that we still stand by, and other people disputed about how Brian Harsin was conducting his business behind closed doors last year. You and I had some private conversations about access, and I know that's a shallow world, but today a very significant historic thing happened to me anyway. For the first time in, I think, 20 years, that may have been a couple of times where I missed, players were allowed to have access to the media today on the day before a game. You know, I think we had access to two different players. That's just a small anecdote. I guess my bigger question is, how have you seen Coach Harsin grow over the past year?
Wow, that's a good question. I think that one of the things that he is, and again, this is just coming from me. You'd probably have to ask him this question, but I think he's allowed his team to loosen up a little bit, and for a lot of different reasons, Mike. And I think that also he's probably gained a little bit more trust with the leaders on his team in terms of them being in front of the media. You know, these are young people. I mean, they're not real experienced at all that kind of stuff, and so. You know, there's a method to choosing who talks to the media and all those kinds of things. But, you know, I think gradually as he gets more comfortable with the media and the players and his coaches and all that, I think you'll continue to see that. But at the same time, if those opportunities, you know, go south at any point, I could see him completely turning and changing his mind and making that a lot more private depending on what's going on in the field and in the classroom and all those kinds of things. So, I think his growth has probably been maybe just a little more openness, not so close to the vest, which I think is a tribute to him. That is very difficult, I think, for a football coach to do that. And you know, I'm proud of him for doing that. And at the same time, you know, he's got to gain the trust of the media to make sure that, you know, the pressures of those small interviews and questions that come about are appropriate. And so far, I think you guys have done a good job of that, and maybe that's one of the reasons that, you know, he's loosened the rope a little bit and allowing that access.